This is Dr. Pinsky dictating an IME on June 17 on a male named Angel Lozada, L-O-Z-A-D-A. As you know, I previously evaluated Mr. Lozada as described in my report of 9-6-15. Pretty is now a 33-year-old male who again reports he injured his left shoulder at work on 8-26-11. Period. He had surgery on the shoulder but remains unaware of his final diagnosis. Period. He denies any subsequent injuries to the involved areas. Period. He does parenthetically reveal that he had injuries to his right shoulder and hand in 2009. Period. He also had surgery on both areas from two different injuries after the subject event. Period. In paragraph, as per your cover letter, he received a prior award and reopened his case. Period. Insert what is marked from the first page of the cover letter. In paragraph, additional records show he underwent an MRI of the right shoulder on 5/3/16 at the referral of Dr. Wetzler. Period. He gave a history of previous repair of a slap tear on the right shoulder. Period. Insert those results here. He then was seen by Dr. Wetzler on 5/26/16. Period. It was noted he had a posterior Bankart repair and subsequent capsulorraphy of his right shoulder in 2011. Period. Did well, but over the last year developed increasing pain in the shoulder. Period. He was utilizing Motrin at the current time. Period. Clinical exam was done. Period. Dr. Wetzler diagnosed strain of the shoulder, upper arm, and right arm. Comma, instability of the right shoulder joint with no history of any new trauma. Comma, and history of arthroscopic procedure on the shoulder. Period. He recommended use of Aleve as well as an MRI of the shoulder. Period. He returned to the office on 3/6/17 to review the results of the MRI. Period. The details of that study were not documented. But nevertheless, they agreed to pursue surgical intervention again on the right shoulder. Period. In paragraph on 8/11/16, the petitioner was seen by Dr. Austin, A-U-S-T-I-N. Period. He noted numerous prior radiographic studies, comma, orthopedic notes, comma, and operative notes. Period. He summarized that Mr. Lozada had a long history of right shoulder problems that initially occurred after a work accident on 11/18/09. Period. He went on to undergo surgery by Dr. Barr on 5/20/10 for the diagnosis of posterior labral tear and synovitis with the diagnostic arthroscopy of the right shoulder along with labral debridement and partial synovectomy. Period. He then transferred his care to Dr. Wetzler and underwent subsequent procedures. Period. On 8/5/10, he was again diagnosed as having posterior instability of the right shoulder with posterior Bankart lesion and underwent diagnostic arthroscopy with posterior capsulorraphy. Period. He did well for a short period of time following this procedure, but once again became unstable. Period. He had another procedure on 2/21/11 for posterior capsulorraphy and closure of the rotator cuff interval. Period. He had done well for a period of time after this, but more recently had been having increasing pain and feelings of instability in the right shoulder. Period. He had seen Dr. Wetzler again recently, and an MRI of the shoulder was done. Period. It again showed a posterior labral tear and evidence of arthritis in the glenohumeral joint. Period. Dr. Austin also performed x-rays of the right shoulder in the office to be inserted as marked. Period. He gave diagnostic assessments that will be inserted as marked. Period. He concluded Mr. Lozada's three prior surgeries have failed. Period. He opined the arthritis that was developing was work-related, and that he had chronic posterior instability with three surgeries now leading to glenohumeral arthritis. Period. He denied any recent traumas or injuries. Period. He did not engage in activities that would cause him to be unstable, and therefore it does not appear that there had been any new injuries since 2009. Period. And that's that. He admitted to having a pre-existing condition of retroversion of the glenoid that predisposed him to this injury. Period. He also had a labral tear on his left shoulder. Period. He had 19 degrees of retroversion of the glenoid with hypertrophic posterior labrum that he was born with and put him at risk of having this injury. Period. However, the initial labral tear did occur in 2009, and that is what set off this condition. Period. Dr. Austin opined there was no way to stop the progression of arthritis. Period. Further arthroscopic labral repair was unlikely to abort the process. Period. His head is going to continue to sublux posteriorly out of the back of the joint until his glenoid is worn away and he goes on to severe arthritis. Period. He opined arthroscopic posterior labral repair would be of little benefit to him. Period. If a surgical intervention was to be performed, he recommended a bony procedure, either an osteotomy of the glenoid or posterior bone grafting. Period. With that said, this procedure does have a high failure rate also. Period. Another option would be pain management, such as injections, but he would avoid narcotic medications. Period. New paragraph. On 1/31/17, Mr. Lozada was seen by Dr. Pepe for his left shoulder, returning with increasing pain in the shoulder. But it was noted in May 2014 he had arthroscopic posterior labral repair and capsular arthroplasty for a retroverted glenoid, posterior labral tear, and posterior instability. Period. He had significant posterior degenerative joint disease at that time, and the capsule and labrum was shifted over the DJD in an attempt to delay his osteoarthritic progression. Period. He did well initially, but over the last several months was having increasing pain in the shoulder. Period. He denied any repeat injuries and that he was relatively inactive. Period. He does have difficulty with his right shoulder, for which he was seeing Dr. Austin. Period. Dr. Pepe performed x-rays of the left shoulder, demonstrating a type 2B glenoid, where there was approximately 40% subluxation of the humeral head and moderate degenerative changes. Period. He recommended a repeat MRI of the left shoulder. Period. He returned on 3/7/17. Noting it showed grade 4 chondrosis of the posterior half of the glenoid. Period. There appeared to be some fiber cartilage. Period. The labrum has displaced posteriorly. Period. The rotator cuff was intact and there was mild intra-articular effusion. Period. He opined in the future arthroplasty would be needed, but at this young age it was not feasible. But he recommended referral to pain management. Period. New paragraph. On 9/11/17, the petitioner was seen in pain management consultation by Dr. Pulser. Period. He treated Mr. Lozada with a variety of medications and other pain management techniques over the next few years. Period. On 18, 21, he expressed weaning off of narcotics completely on his own. Prepared to use his medical marijuana when he gets home from work. Period. Dr. Pulser described MRI of the left shoulder, demonstrated grade 4 chondrosis of the posterior half of the glenoid. Appeared to actually scratch that out. He noted the results of the more recent MRI of the left shoulder. Appeared to prescribe the petitioner Percocet. Period. New paragraphs. Mr. Lozada presented himself to the emergency room on 1:30:20, stating he was at work yesterday in the bathroom when he stepped on a wet spot on the floor and slipped and fell. Pretty tried to catch himself with his outstretched right hand and twisted his back when he went down. Pretty had pain in the right wrist and lower back today. Pretty had some Percocet left over from shoulder surgery and had been taking that for his pain. Pretty denied hitting his head or having any other injuries. Period. He did undergo x-rays of the right wrist that were read as normal. Period. There was tenderness over the right distal radius, but full range of motion of the wrist. Period. He appears to have been treated and released. Period. He expressed low back injury. It was a twisting injury and most likely muscular. Period. There were no neurologic signs and no red flags for any serious injury. The patient did not want anything for pain at that time, as he had been taking his own Percocet. Period. New paragraph. Mr. Lozado was then seen by Dr. Schwartz on 2/14/20 for back symptoms. Period. At that juncture, he was working as a legal assistant for a law firm, but he slipped and fell at work in a bathroom on a wet floor, injuring his right wrist and lower back. Period. He is currently working his normal job duties. Period. Medications included oxycodone, gabapentin, and imipramine. Period. Dr. Schwartz performed an exam and x-rays of the right wrist to be inserted. Period. He recommended continued use of a wrist splint that he has for support, as well as a course of physical therapy. Period. He followed up with Dr. Schwartz and remained symptomatic. Period. On 3/12/20, MRI of the right wrist was done to be inserted here. Period. At the next visit of 3/20/20, he still had wrist symptoms, but tolerating normal job duties. Period. His back issues had resolved. Period. There were no distinct therapeutic measures recommended for the lumbar strain. Period. New paragraph. Mr. Lozada was seen by hand specialist Dr. Sattel on 3/31/20. But at that time, he performed a corticosteroid injection to the right radiocarpal area. Period. He gave diagnostic assessments of pain in the right wrist, radial styloid tenosynovitis, parentheses, decoid Raynes disease, close parentheses, injury of right scaphoid lunate ligament with no instability. Period. Mr. Lozado did participate in physical therapy on the dates described. Pretty followed up with Dr. Sattel through 4/21/20. Another corticosteroid injection was administered to the right wrist. Period. That was on 3/31/20. On 4/21/20, he He related about a week of improvement following the injection, but was now back to baseline. Dr. Sattel expressed how he could be a candidate for arthroscopic evaluation, and he would like to proceed with scheduling at that time. However, they were not able to perform elective surgeries due to the COVID-19 pandemic. If symptoms persisted, he would elect to proceed with scheduling for right wrist arthroscopy. New paragraph. Physiatric evaluation was done by Dr. Ragone on 5-6-21 at the referral of Dr. Pulser. He was there stating he had an injury from a work-related accident located in both shoulders. And put this in bold, this obviously does not correlate with the single subject event of 8-26-11. Dr. Ragone reviewed his course of treatment to date, including what he thought were 6 to 8 shoulder surgeries on the right shoulder and one on the left shoulder by Dr. Pepe in 2016. He had undergone right wrist surgery by Dr. Strauss in August 2020. Left shoulder surgery was first done in 2011 and repeated by Dr. Pepe in 2016. In any event, Dr. Ragone diagnosed right shoulder and left shoulder pain, cervicalgia, low back pain, chronic pain syndrome. He requested records from Dr. Pulser, after which they would proceed for possible additional treatment. He did return to Dr. Ragone on 6-1-21, by which time those notes were provided. Dr. Ragone recommended he research products such as Ardent Nova Decarboxylator and other devices, as well as literature on cannabis. He continued to treat Mr. Lozado through 8-9-21. He was recertified electronically for 360 days with the NJMMP to use up to 3 ounces of medical marijuana per 30 days for his chronic shoulder pain. He was going to follow up in 360 days. Physical exam. Extremities upper inspection revealed healed surgical scarring at both shoulders, but no swelling, atrophy, or effusions. Left shoulder abduction was 130 degrees, flexion 140 degrees, external rotation 70 degrees, and extension 20 degrees with crepitus and discomfort. Independent adduction and internal rotation were full. Active right shoulder flexion was 160 degrees, but motion was otherwise full in independent spheres. Combined active extension with internal rotation was to T12 on the right and T9 on the left. Motion of the elbows, wrists, and fingers was full in all planes without crepitus, tenderness, trigger, or locking. Hands, wrists, elbows, he had a positive, shoulder maneuvers. He had a positive O'Brien's maneuver on the left, which was negative on the right. Hands, wrists, elbows, normal, cervical normal, thoracic normal. Impressions. On 8-26-11, Angel Lozada reportedly injured his left shoulder at work, as marked in my prior report. Since that time, he received an order approving settlement. on 12-17-15. This was his reopener from the award of 3-5-13. He did undergo additional treatment, as noted above, primarily for the right upper extremity. This ostensibly occurred after another injury at work with a different employer. He did undergo surgeries on the right wrist and right shoulder. New paragraph, the current examination found there to be decreased range of motion about the left greater than right shoulders. He had a positive Orbison's maneuver on the left, but other provocative maneuvers were negative for instability or internal derangement. He had full range of motion of the wrists, elbows, and fingers without crepitus, tenderness, trigger, or locking. Provocative maneuvers were negative for compression neuropathy or internal derangement. Had full range of motion of the cervical and thoracic spines. New paragraph. My opinions relative to permanency at the left shoulder remains the same as will be marked from my prior report. New paragraph. Of course, Mr. Lozado's subsequent injuries on 11-18-09 and on 1-29-20 play a part in his overall presentation and functional abilities. End.